Well, welcome to the Inside Sports Nutrition Podcast, your source for all things sports nutrition related. This show is hosted by myself, Bob Siebehart, and my co-host, Dina Griffin. We are board-certified sport dietitians and registered dietitians with combined professional experience exceeding 40 years. In this episode, number 63, we are talking about one of my favorite topics ever. Snacking. Love talking about snacking. Absolutely love it. We have a lot of great questions that we're answering all regarding snacking. How do you snack? What kind of foods? What about energy bars? What about protein bars? What's the difference? Should we look at the labels? What do we look at in the labels? There's so much. When should we snack, right? There's so much great information to cover on snacking. So because it's so important in most of our athletes' lives, in terms of wanting to do it and maybe needing to do it, we thought we would devote this entire episode just for that. And towards the end, we also share the 7 steps for making a performance-based smoothie even better, because smoothies, as you probably know, or maybe don't, can be used for fantastic snacks. And let's not forget, before we head to the episode, Dina is launching her new Nourish Circle online programs in the spring of this year, 2023, for active and athletic women 40 and older. If you're looking to get the nutrition insight and tools to support your health, vitality, and athletic performance through menopause years and beyond, be sure to check out these new educational opportunities and get on the wait list to be notified of registration opportunities. Head on over to Dina's website, nutritionmechanic.com, click on the services link, and look for the Nourish Circle for more information. And now, on to the episode. Well, Dina, today our AUA, Ask Us Anything, really stems from questions that we probably get at least once a week, right? And that is all based on snacking, because it's literally, and I don't know, like every athlete I talk to, it doesn't matter the age, the gender, the sport, it's always about, I think the pain point is really snacking, isn't it, Dina? Like, what do I do for my snack? And don't get me wrong, listeners, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, we know those are also challenges, but it just seems like that snack and the snacking opportunities, that's where I see at least most the mistakes are made, because we don't know what to do. We don't know what to grab. It's total grab and go. There's not a lot of prep there. So I don't know. I thought it'd be kind of cool for us to introduce the whole snacking, you know, pain points or challenges here in this Ask Us Anything episode.
I feel, Bob, that the issue of snacking sometimes gets into a black and white category, like never snack eat 3 snacks a day. And there's just confusion, period, about snacking. And then it's got, you know, like some stigma. If you snack, you're a bad person or you're doing something wrong. Although we're not going to talk about the philosophical aspects of snacking, but within the realm of snack and snacking, some of the common questions that, yeah, we routinely get around.
Well, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I didn't even think about that, Dee. Like with all the things these days from, and not even keto, but I think intermittent fasting and fast workouts and all that, I think that is what has really disrupted this category. So listeners, it doesn't matter if you're intermittent fasting or not, like that itself presents challenges just because there's a shorter eating window, right? So then it's the, well, do we snack or not? We're not going to get there today. We're not going to get there. We're just going to address some, like you said, Dee, some really popular questions we normally get regarding snacking. So let me start off with the first one, and I'm going to start off with a story. So when I first got into endurance sports, and this was my sophomore year in undergrad, and I'm not going to tell you what year that was.
I mean, it was just a few minutes ago.
It was back in the days.
It was back in the day a few minutes ago.
Let's just say this. It was back in the days where, from an energy bar standpoint, there were really only 2 to 3 companies that were on the market. And the biggest one by far was Power Bar. Cliff Bar was really making some inroads at that time. And there was, I think PR Bar, if you actually remember that one. That was the first one that was a little bit higher protein, right?
I had a PR Bar hat.
Oh, you did?
So I was a big PR Bar fan. Yeah.
That was the first one that hit the market. And we're not going to talk about this too much, but I just remember it because everyone, endurance athletes, were like, what are they doing putting protein in an energy bar?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So anyway, my story is that's when I really got introduced to energy bars. And I thought, now again, I was in my undergrad in college and, you know, obviously, you know, finances are tight, resources are tight. And I was thinking, well, you know, I think that just solved my snacking question. It's like, I guess I just eat a whole bunch of energy bars throughout the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward a couple of years and I still have a lot of athletes, as I know you do also, Dina, saying, is it okay to eat this energy bar, this protein bar? How many should I have in a day? So that is our first question. Is it okay to have energy / protein bars as snacks throughout the day? And if so, is there too many? Is it one? Is it 10? Is it 20? I think we should first probably explain the difference between an energy bar and a protein bar. That might be a good place to start, right?
Okay.
So typically an energy bar will have higher carb, pretty low to moderate protein, and just low to moderate fat. That's like a typical energy bar. But the new protein bars, now we're getting into a little bit more balanced macronutrients. So we have a little bit higher protein, lower carb, and sometimes even higher fat, especially if it's nut-based. So right. A lot of times we'll see these protein bars are more of like a 1-to-1 carbohydrate to protein ratio. The energy bars are more like a 4-to-20-to-1 ratio of carbohydrate to protein. So that's just a good explanation. Like, and I only like saying that, Dina, because I, you know, when someone says, oh, I had a protein bar, it's like when people ask me or when people tell me, well, I had a glass of milk. We now as sport dietitians have to say, what type of milk? Is it nut milk? Is it protein fortified nut milk? Is it cow's milk? Is it cashew? Is it, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Same thing with protein bars now is we have to kind of make sure that we understand, well, what bar are we using? Because here's the thing, listeners, sometimes you don't know which bar you're using. Like you just pick one up, but you don't know if it's higher, lower protein, higher, lower carb, higher, lower fat, right?
Totally true. We need to be label savvy. Not all bars are created the same, identified the same.
Right.
And yeah, whatever's in your stash, it's worth just re-examining, you know, content and composition. And like you're saying, carb to protein ratio so that we can better categorize and then maybe give these things more purpose.
Yeah, totally. And I am very pro energy / protein bars when consumed at the right time for the right reason, right? So I typically always have a stash, if you will, kind of an emergency ration, although these days that my emergency rations are mostly my energy bites, right? Mm-hmm. But I will have the occasional, you know, protein bar, energy bar, and it's in my car, it's in my backpack. Because here's the thing, listeners, you want to prepare for sometimes the unknown. Like if you get caught in a meeting or you get caught in traffic or something, like you want to be able to have that as a snack if you need it, because literally snacks are just, you know, they're the in-between to get us between meals, basically, right? But if I can just kind of tie in the whole metabolic efficiency really quick, because we're trying to optimize blood sugar with food throughout the day, there may be great opportunities where you need a snack, right? Absolutely. Just to make sure your blood sugar stays somewhat balanced and you're not crashing hard, i.e. that 1 to 4 p.m. in the afternoon. That's a lot of times I feel that listeners should snack during that time, but they're drinking coffee or they're, you know, doing something else. They're not really listening to their hunger signals.
Exactly, Bob. I think too, just, I mean, you're mentioning a few things like the convenience issue, right? It's a good go-to, these energy or protein bars. And especially for busy parents or busy athletes, just, you know, busy individuals just gone in between main meals. Sometimes that gap is lengthy, right? Between, let's say, midday meal and evening meal. And then there's the blood sugar issue as well. So if it's going to be more than 4 or 5 hours, having a bar like that available can definitely help, especially if we're busy and we're not even thinking of our, you know, the planning for our food day.
Mm-hmm.
Having some bars just thrown in the bag, like, oh, yay, I happen to have one that I can use for this purpose. But then also I think about exercise or training and how bars can be a pre-workout or maybe a post-workout in between the main meals. So there can be some advantages there. you know, we can probably think of 10 use cases for bars, right?
Absolutely.
Just to validate that they're not evil.
Yeah, they're not evil for sure. I do think that we need to be very aware of the ingredients, right? Because there are some food manufacturers that, you know, they slip in some really weird ingredients that, you know, when if Dean and I were looking at the label, we're like, you know what? And I actually did this just yesterday. I looked at a bar for an athlete. I'm like, you know, the nutrient profile looks solid, like the carbs, the protein, the fats. Yeah. I was very happy with that. It had some fiber in it. But then, Dean, I looked at the ingredients and I think I counted 12 different food dyes and colorings that were added in addition to some sugar alcohol. Like it was just like, you know, so my message is, yes, look at the nutrition facts label, but also look at the ingredients because you may actually not end up eating that bar because maybe you don't want, you know, red dye 40 or yellow dye 5 or whatever it is, right? I mean, I think we need to be a little more particular with that because here's my other thing, because a lot of our athletes say, well, it's a two question part, right? I mean, it's a two part question. It's, should I eat those throughout the day? But then the next question is, well, how many should I eat? Right. Because I've been known to put down a couple bars a day. It depends on the day. And I'm like, if I'm out and about, and if I didn't, you know, if I didn't have time to plan or whatever is happening, I mean, we get caught behind the eight ball. We understand this, right? But if you understand that you have to look at the ingredients, because if you have too many of these things, I mean, it's not going to cause any harm initially, but maybe long-term, right? So if you have a lot of food dyes, food colorings, preservatives, but I was also thinking, Dina, a little bit more towards like the micronutrients they're putting in, because some of these energy bars and protein bars are literally like a multivitamin in chewable format. So if you're eating 5 to 10 of these a day, like you might be getting like too many micronutrients, and I'm talking vitamins and minerals, right?
Yeah. With the fortification they're doing these days. Yeah. And it's not like you taste it the same as eating equivalent beets or broccoli,
right,
you know,
right, totally.
Doing a lot of chewing for those whole food sources. I was also thinking along the lines, Bob, of the cost issue for some of these bars, because I was just doing some shopping yesterday and there were some bars. I was in the bar aisle.
Yeah.
Because there's always a new one I've got to check out.
Absolutely.
But I saw a bar that I think was $350 or something just for that one bar.
Right.
And it was still a 200 and some calorie bar. So like cost per calorie,
right.
Let alone ingredient profile, I could buy a whole lot of food for $350. Truly.
Right.
I mean, produce, you can still, you know, buy whole foods. So that's another aspect I think to consider, which may tie to a couple other questions we've got coming up, but.
Yeah, it does definitely. I think we do need to factor that in. I think the whole purpose of an energy bar, protein bar is for the convenience. So I think a lot of listeners will, including ourselves, will pay, you know, $2 to $3, maybe up to $4 for it. But this is what I see too, because I spend a lot of time in those aisles because I do, just like you, I want to see what's out there, like what's being used these days and manufactured. I do see like the higher price points, and this doesn't hold true 100% of the time, but a good rule of thumb, listeners, is usually, not always, but usually the higher price point bars will typically have better ingredient profiles, meaning no dyes, no colorings, not a lot of preservatives, if any at all. So we really are. I mean, you can make the argument, aren't some of these just basically foods and fruits and nuts just kind of smushed up? And they are, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Some of them are. But to your point, Dina, you could go get a thing of cashews and, you know, get some bananas or oranges or whatever. Wow. And, you know, granted, probably do the same exact thing with your blood sugar that you would with the bar. It's just more difficult. It could be more messy with the, you know, with the fruit and the nuts, but I get it. Like I totally get it. But I do think there are some mishaps that, you know, some listeners need to watch out for. And one is the pricing, but two is just the ingredients. So we just have to be careful with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the question of like, how many bars can I eat in one day? I'm a little nervous to put a number on that because I don't know whoever is asking this. I need to know what the story is. And are we using those kind of sort of as an excuse because we're lazy or something else? That is a possibility.
It is.
I mean, if I had to put a number, Bob, you know, I might say in that 1 to 2 range, but I wouldn't prefer that to occur day after day after day.
Yeah. I would say, and this is going to be really shocking to listeners, but I agree with you, Dina.
Oh.
Absolutely. Like 1 to 2 per day, I think are
Okay.
good. I mean,
Yeah.
if you take the typical person who's
Yeah.
not doing any IF or intermittent fasting and you do snack twice a day, maybe 3 times a day, I think it's okay. I mean, I think you can fit in one bar a day for
Okay.
sure.
Yeah.
It does come down to that preparation and planning. And, you know, of course, listeners, you know, Dean and I mean, the more you prepare, the better. And then you won't get caught, you know, doing these things. I mean, good example is when I'm out and about, you know, away from my home office and I know I'm going to be spending the day out, you know, I literally will make a smoothie the night before. I'll put it in my shaker bottle. I will have, I mean, you can refer to them as bars or whatever, but I always have my energy bites from my All Around Snack Co. always in my car, in my bag. I mean, they are everywhere with me as a just in case the smoothie doesn't do it for me. But like my, the smoothie is like my, you know, this, Dean. I mean, we wrote the smoothie book together, right? Smoothies are just like the thing. But to your point, yeah, I think 1 or 2 we could definitely kind of factor that in. But again, to your point, let's not have those be a crutch. Let's let those be a little more methodical in the planning process.
Exactly. And everyone, go to your stash of bars. Spend a few minutes, just refresh your memory. What's in these bars? Maybe there's an upgrade for a comparable price where you can get a little bit more protein or just better quality bar. So that would be a good to-do.
Perfect.
You know
So I
what?
feel,
Yeah.
oh, go ahead. Go
I
ahead,
was
Dean.
just going to say it kind of ties to another question we get routinely, Bob, right?
It
Which
does.
is like, well, if I'm not going to use bars, then what are some other ideas like to give me energy that's snack-like and for during the day purposes?
Well, how about we start that off, Dina, by asking each other what are our favorite snacks? Like, what do you
Oh,
use throughout the day? And I'm sure we
yeah.
rotate, right? Depends on the time of the year, how we feel, all that stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, let's give the
Yeah,
listeners a little
definitely.
glimpse into our favorite snacks.
You know, sometimes it is seasonal. So I'm just thinking of what's in my little lunch bag right now that's snack-like. So I'm a big cottage cheese fan. Just love the protein hit. It's easy for me. So cottage cheese and fruit. I often will put like frozen fruit on the bottom the night before, dump the cottage cheese on, and the fruit kind of, you know, thaws a little bit overnight and then sweetens the cottage cheese. And sometimes I might throw a few pumpkin seeds. That's a common one, or like a loaded yogurt, you know, a Greek yogurt with goodies added is a decent snack that I rely on. Those are a couple of my go-tos that, I mean, granted, they are dairy-based. So if I had to pick one non-dairy-based, it'd be something like edamame leftover, which might be weird. Like still in the pod thing with some hummus and cucumbers. I love cukes. Yeah.
You
So that,
sound, can I just say, you
yeah.
sound like a typical dietitian.
Oh, shoot. I'm trying to think of
But
another
we
one.
do. I mean,
Like,
that's what we do, guys and gals. I mean, this is our
well,
life. This is.
I mean, there is dark chocolate here and there, but it's not like, you know, I was going to say, I don't call that a snack, but it really is like a little half ounce
But
dark chocolate.
it's just so funny to me, D, because I don't hear goldfish. I don't hear Cheetos or
Oh,
Doritos. I don't hear graham
shoot.
crackers. It's just so, you know, I mean, I'm sensitive to that because, again, we're both sport dietitians, but
Yeah.
we work with very diverse populations and athletes. It's just, that was just a little funny on the side. But your
I
snacks
know.
are awesome. And it actually sounds like you've got a little bit of sweet and savory going at times, right? So,
Yeah.
and that's one thing I was going to tell listeners is, maybe see what kind of mood you're in, because sometimes we do want more savory,
Yep.
and sometimes we do want more sweet. So maybe we can kind of factor in a couple different types of snacks to meet
Right.
our taste preferences and on that particular day.
Well, Bob, besides the energy bites, what are in or your gourmet snack mix? I'm just curious some other snacks that you might use besides
So
smoothies.
those are probably
Yeah.
80% of my snacks,
Okay.
but I love a plain Greek yogurt with peanut butter mixed together is like
Ooh.
my pudding. It is, and a little
Yum.
cinnamon on top. It is like one of my go-to because I feel literally like I'm eating pudding. And so it
Yeah.
brings me back to my childhood, right? That is one of my favorites, hand down. I love, as you know, my I guess I have to just come out and say it probably is a problem, but peanut butter, I am a peanut butter
Yes.
aholic, and you get me
Yes.
some dark chocolate, like 70% dark cacao and greater. I'm just dumping that in my peanut butter jar and stirring it,
Yeah.
and I'm spooning it out. I mean, that is one of my favorite snacks.
I mean, your eyes just lit up,
Wow. I mean,
and
I'm
there's like this.
salivating right now.
I know I am too, actually, but the grin on your face is priceless.
So
Okay.
that's like my key. It kind of depends on if I'm at home, my home office, or if I'm out and about, right? Because that
Yeah.
will dictate kind of what I do and kind of the ease and the convenience. But like I said earlier, if I am out and about, I am planning the night before for it, 9.9 times out of 10. I do want to say that I use protein powder. And it's kind of like the energy bars where I'm like, okay, is there a reason for this? Like, can I do it through food? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I'll make a protein shake, and sometimes it's like, a super protein shake, and we'll talk about like a more of a smoothie blend here in a second, but because that's another question I get that we both get. But if it's just like a protein powder, I'll do like an almond milk, unsweetened almond milk with some protein powder, some type of spice, usually like a cinnamon, and call it good, right? So that is usually it's not a last resort, but it's not on the top priority. It's probably mid priority list for me. Because I know I can get better protein, or I can get protein sources through food most of the time.
Well, listeners, there is a common theme to the snack combos that we've been listening, right?
Yes, there
It
is.
is like, where is the protein in the snack? Because if we're looking to get some energy, I mean, classically, a lot of us were taught carbs give energy, therefore we
Yes.
just snack on a carb. I'm not saying that's wrong or you should never do that, but for, leveling up our snacks, stabilizing blood sugar, giving satiety, or actually making the snack stick, we need some protein in there. So that's why all of
Totally.
the snacks we've been mentioning have a protein component.
You probably know that I focus on blood sugar optimization throughout the day and minimizing GI distress while maintaining steady energy during training and competition. Because of this, I am super excited to have UCAN as one of our podcast sponsors. Both Dina and I have been longtime supporters of UCAN because of their steady release carbohydrate Live Steady. Originally developed as a medical food for kids with life-threatening hypoglycemia, Live Steady is now allowing athletes of all levels to fuel their personal best. I actually recommend my athletes use UCAN products both in training and throughout the day if they feel a blood sugar crash coming. UCAN has been a serious game changer, not only for my own athletic journey, but also for so many athletes I've worked with, ranging from young athletes to collegiate athletes to Olympians. UCAN helps maintain steady energy levels throughout the day without any nasty spikes and drops in blood sugar. Most sports nutrition products push the idea that more energy means more sugar, but UCAN gives you more energy with less sugar. It's truly unique, and if you visit their website, UCAN.co, that's UCAN.co, you can save 20% on their energy bars, their gels, powders, and more. Be sure to use the code ISNPODCAST during checkout. Yeah, so it's so important. And really, that's what I teach all athletes is when you approach snacks, well, and meals for that matter, like identify your protein source first, because then you can build everything around that. You can get some great carbohydrates around that, some super good fat, some spices, like all that great stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm a hungry now.
I know, right? Is it snack time yet? I think let's finish off the snacking thing by a popular question I get too, because, and I kind of mentioned it with the whole protein shake. I think, and it's kind of like if an athlete says, I drink milk. If an athlete comes to me and says, I have a protein shake, I do have to stop them and just qualify, is it protein powder mixed with water? Because in my mind, that's what a protein shake
Oh,
is, right?
yeah.
Or is it a smoothie where you can actually really get a lot more bang for your buck and really kind of hit that snack as a very nutrient dense snack that'll provide you so many extra benefits that a protein shake won't. Now, protein shakes are great, don't get me wrong, but it's usually just protein, right? Depending on
Right.
what fluid you put in it. So a question I get a lot, Dean, and I know you do too, is, well, okay, so if you talk about smoothies, and smoothies can be great snacks, and yes, you have to make a smoothie in a blender, which is actually super easy, but a lot of athletes just don't know how to make smoothies. And I know that sounds weird, right? Cause you think it'd just be easy as putting some liquid and something else in.
Yeah.
But like, I've got not a methodical approach to making smoothies, but more of an approach of, okay, let's not forget X, Y, Z. So should we maybe explore some tips on how to make what I call a performance smoothie that you can use either as a snack, or if you really kind of, you know, beef it up, so to speak, you can use it as a meal if you wanted to.
Yeah, Bob, go ahead and start with the perfect, you know, recipe base.
And I don't say perfect, but this is like the order I teach. Cause a lot of times, you know, I see people putting things in a blender. You're like, okay, I mean, as long as it's high power blender, it should blend fine.
Yeah.
There is a opportunity and kind of methodical approach to adding ingredients into a blender because it will help blend it nicely. You won't get chunks. You won't get things, you know, sticking on the sides of the blender. So the first thing is really just decide what fluid you're going to have. Like, is it going to be water? Is it going to be a nut milk? Is it going to be a cow's milk? Decide your fluid first. And that's what goes in first and foremost. And I will just say from previous experience, you know, and failures, don't put too much in yet, because once you start blending, the volume of liquid increases in your blender. And I've had this happen before, D. Even with the lid on, you know, things start spurting out.
Oh boy. Right? That's dangerous territory.
Careful. And of course, put the lid on, but just watch how much fluid you put in, right?
Yes, that's very important. Learning our blender operational, you know, maximum, never until things blow out of the top.
Yeah. Well, especially if you come, like if you have a bigger blender, like we've got a Vitamix at our place, right? It's big. Like I have a 64 ounce, you know, canister to it. And I started using a smaller one and I didn't put two and two together, D. Like I'm like, smaller, obviously I can't put as much stuff in here. And you know, that's where the blow up happens, obviously. Uh-huh. Or if you're using those little, what are those little Ninja or NutriBullets, the little like single serve one, you can't fit as much liquid and stuff in there. So you just have to be mindful of the size of blender, right? But anyway, I digress.
Bob,
First step, fluid.
Yes. So speaking on the fluid, a question along those lines is, and I'll peg you on this one, is juice bad to use in my smoothie?
Yeah. Well, you know how I feel about
for the listeners,
air quotes. Yeah. You know how I feel about using good and bad. Mm-hmm. I will just say that there are many other beneficial fluids to use aside from juice. Mm-hmm. And I only say that because usually most juices have almost all the nutrients stripped out of it, except you're talking some sugar and some water, right? For the most part. I mean, you might get some vitamin C also, but a lot of the stripping comes in the form of fiber. And so I am usually, and it's not poo-pooing juice, but I think, you know, based on the other steps I'm going to give you of making a performance smoothie, I don't think juice fits in there, because we're going to get the benefits of carbohydrates from whole foods instead of a juice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. So second step is for me being a parent, it's hide your veggies. So whenever you have a chance to add any vegetable to a smoothie, put it in there. It doesn't have to be a lot, but put it in there. Put, you know, a couple cubes of beets or some spinach or, you know, broccoli even, or carrots, like whatever. But it's a great, I mean, I did this when my kids were growing up. I would just hide vegetables in the smoothies, and then I'd cover it up with my third step, which is fruit, right? Yep. So you're getting some great carbohydrates, but mask the taste with fruit.
It's funny, Bob, because I don't have children other than my dog, but when we were writing our smoothie book, and one of the recipes you sent me for me to pilot test had sweet potato in it. And I was like, I think he has a typo. This is not the right recipe. And then I tried it and it was so delish. So I was a convert, like, even though I love eating veg, I think that's a great tip for parents if you're making a smoothie for a spouse or a partner who is not a big veggie fan, you can hide it in there.
Totally. And even for college athletes, and again, I'll reference this, but I work with a lot of college athletes and they're not wanting to cook veggies, right? It's usually frozen veggies if they heat them up at all. But that's my message to them is like, hey, my first question is always, do you have a blender at your place, like in your dorm or in your apartment? Because if you do, we can go crazy with this, because you can hide your veggies.
Yes.
But So the fruit comes into step three, because you can just, I mean, whatever fruit you want, bananas or blueberries or strawberries or raspberry, like whatever you want, frozen. I like frozen personally, especially in the winter time, depending on where you live. You know, in Colorado, we don't have the best produce in the winter, but fruit goes a long way. You want to be careful with it. Like, you don't want to dump the whole bag or like 10 bananas in there. But, you know, if you've added some vegetables in there, you want to add some fruit in there just to kind of, like I said, take that bite off the veggie, especially if it's something like a spinach or a kale, because those can be kind of powerful.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, so can I go to my next step?
Yeah. I'm guessing it's same as,
I have six steps to making a performance smoothie, and listeners are like, okay, if I don't know this guy's nuts, like six steps. But once you see it, you're like, oh, this makes sense, right? Step four is adding spices. So what we know about nutrigenomics, and remember we did the 2002, we interviewed Amanda Archbold, and phenomenal with the whole, you know, just the spices and decreasing inflammation and decreasing oxidation. Like, whenever you get an opportunity or a reason to use a spice, use it, right? Yeah. So, and it does have to kind of match the flavor profile. So is it cinnamon? I think cinnamon and ginger are usually pretty easy to fit in a smoothie. I've mixed in turmeric and black pepper. Those are kind of bold, but you have to have that right taste profile. So step four is definitely spices whenever possible. And it doesn't, like, don't let spices overpower. Like, you could just do a dash or a pinch, right? I mean, my thing with spices is just use them frequently throughout the day. You don't have to use a lot of it at one time, but just use them.
Right? Consistency.
Yeah, exactly.
I do love the ginger in a smoothie. So good. Or even things like, this isn't really a spice, but just thinking along the fruit line, like some lemon, fresh lemon or lemon zest.
Totally.
Along with a couple other fruits. It's just amazing. But the spice realm, that's probably blowing the minds of some of the listeners.
It is.
Never thought about that.
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to segue to what I'm guessing is number five, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What is number five?
Well, I was thinking we need to bring in some protein somewhere here.
So yes, absolutely. So my step five is probiotics.
Probiotics. Okay.
Yes. Which is yogurt. I mean, so easy to use plain Greek yogurt, throw one or two spoonfuls in there, call it good. So there's a good protein source, but really good for our digestive bacteria down there, all the good guys and girls down there. So definitely always, always, always add plain Greek yogurt. That's why I always tell people to have plain Greek yogurt in their fridge. They look at me like, oh, I'm not going to eat that. But I'm like, well, if you're making smoothies though, it's a very bland profile taste. So it's not going to overpower anything, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
It thickens the smoothie a little bit, or can, right?
It does.
So for people who are like, gosh, it's so runny. It's not like, you know, the smoothie shop down the street. How do they do that? So yogurt and maybe even with the right fruit or veg, you know, and using the right amount of liquid, like you were saying, we can get the consistency that really matches well with our palate.
Totally. But Dean, my wife makes this morning smoothie for herself. She hasn't shared it with me yet, but it looks so delicious and it's so thick. And it's just, I'm looking at it, I'm like, wow. But she puts in yogurt and she puts in milk, obviously, and some nut milk, but she uses frozen fruit too. And that can help, just like if you were to add ice, that can help with the consistency and really make it thicker. So it really depends on what thickness you want. Yeah. You're not going to guess my sixth step. Honestly, I'm sorry. I have seven steps. Did I say six earlier?
Yeah,
I'm so,
you did.
I'm sorry. Let's go back and re-record this.
Keep going, Bob. Keep going.
Okay. Step six, add healthy fats.
The fats.
This is usually where I get the weird look. So I'm like, hey, add a little bit of olive oil or coconut oil, or, you know, I think a nut butter is super easy, but some people don't like nut butter. I totally get that. Right. But throw in some healthy fats somewhere. Like if that yogurt that you used, which I really support full fat, plain Greek yogurt, if it wasn't full fat, we've got to find some fat somewhere. And if your milk didn't have fat, we have to get some fat in there, because fat helps with satiety, helps keep us fuller longer. So we don't want to have like a fruit-based smoothie, because it's like eating a piece of fruit, right? You're going to feel so hungry in about 30 to 60 minutes. So we need to add a little bit of fat in there. That's now my last step. And I should probably change my steps for you, Dina, because, and this is by no means because it's less important, but in terms of the protein, my assumption is with step one, with whatever fluid, i.e. milk that you're putting in there, I'm hoping if it's a nut milk, it's like a protein enriched nut milk. If it's cow's milk, obviously there's some protein. And then we have the probiotics with the yogurt. So there's protein, but the last step is what I call the extras, right? So if you forgot the protein, if you don't have enough protein, let's look for protein powder. Let's put tofu in there if we want to. I've done that before. Makes it very creamy. Yeah. Let's use some seeds, like some chia seeds or some ground flax. If you're going to use collagen powder, like there's so many extras that you can put into this, literally to take your smoothie making to the next level. That's why I call it a performance smoothie and not just a smoothie.
Yeah. So many options for proteins, even some of the peanut powder, you know, if we're looking to maybe not have too much fat, like if we're going to do a harder workout, you know, in the next hour, and we don't want the smoothie sticking around too long or too heavy, right. You know, we can manipulate some of these ingredients, but for general everyday snacking, using a smoothie with this formula makes total sense. And then I like how you're, you know, kind of topping off like these little bit of extra protein because, you know, I'm going to be pretty hungry, or I just need a little bit more given the day, whether that's, you know, a busy day or a busy workout day or whatever.
Absolutely. I usually personally, when I take smoothies out on my days, I usually shoot for having between 30 to 40 grams of protein in there, all mixed in. Like it could be milk, could be yogurt, could be added protein powder, but because here's the other thing. And big rule of thumb for me is, you know, the shaker bottles that we use for these things, which are phenomenal. Those are usually 24, 28 ounces, the bigger ones. It's really tough. And please, listeners, do not drink that whole shaker bottle within like 5 minutes. It's just, it really hurts the stomach. It's a lot of liquid, a lot of nutrients at once. Yeah. So my point is, like, I like to distribute that, and you can make like this performance smoothie and actually have it for two snacks if you wanted to. So maybe another rule of thumb is maybe only have about 10 to 12 ounces of the smoothie. Like if you're putting all these great ingredients in there, one, because of the volume of liquid, but two, because we do want this to be a snack also, unless of course you are using it as a meal. And then obviously you want it to be more energy dense, but I think that's a good rule of thumb because I've made that mistake before early on. And, you know, mostly when we were doing our smoothie book, because I would try these things and I was drinking so many smoothies, Dina, and my stomach would hurt. I'm like, what is going on? And I just, you know, I figured it out. It was just too much fluid at that given time. So kind of a be careful there for listeners.
Yeah. I think you and I are one of the few people I know that does do like smoothie a day pretty much. Right. I mean, it's
totally
some concoction always going on. That's in the, in the blender bottle.
Absolutely. Well, and it kind of comes back, I think part of it, I mean, it has been our passion for it, but here's just a very, very, you know, kind of a plug for us. But I mean, how many years ago did we develop our smoothie electronic recipe book? I mean, there's 85 smoothie recipes, and we segmented them by carbohydrate to protein ratio, right? Yeah. So I think that's really, I mean, I loved smoothies before that project with you, but I really gained a really great love for smoothies because there were so many to try, right?
Yes.
So I guess it doesn't have to be the same one every day.
Right. I did get a little nervous when there were beets coming into the smoothie, but I became a fan. And
I tell you what, beets and spinach will really throw you for one because visually it doesn't, like, it's intense green or intense pinkish reddish. And in your mind, you're like, that doesn't look normal.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But loaded with folate and all these other micronutrients and actually did taste good. So there we go.
Yeah. And just remember, if you use blueberries or like frozen blueberries specifically, you can pretty much cover up those visual acuities of different colors. All right.
Yes.
Like I can easily hide spinach and this is what I do with my kids, easily would hide spinach with frozen blueberries because then it's purple instead of green. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh, then we're getting into all of the fun colors.
Exactly. Right. Jeez. Color of the rainbow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, Bob. Well, I'm trying to think of anything else. The only other thing I thought of for your protein topper, I added some cottage cheese to a smoothie because,
perfect.
You know, a lot of people do not like cottage cheese. And I feel like it is more the visual because there's the little, you know, curds
chunks
and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so you can get a quality protein source from the cottage cheese, throw it in the smoothie. It's kind of like throwing the spinach or whatever else you want to hide in there. So if you tolerate it gut wise, that could be another addition, but of course there are a million combos here. So start with maybe we'll put that in the show notes, the step process.
Oh yeah. Step process. We'll link to our smoothie book. So in case any listeners would like to look at the 85 recipes and not be overwhelmed, but kind of be pleasantly surprised, like, oh yeah, I need to break my habit of just doing whatever, you know, milk, banana, peanut butter. Right.
Right. We're going to level up for sure.
Totally. Yeah. Well, this has been a fun one. I always love talking about snacks for very biased reasons, but because I've been a snacker my whole life too, and it's always been a pain point. So hopefully, listeners, this has kind of brought out a few ideas for you, maybe encouraged you to try new things, try different things, get on the smoothie bandwagon, whatever it is. But I think this is one thing that will definitely never go away is the question of what should I do for snacks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
exactly.
Anything to wrap it up?
You know, I was just thinking if you have a snack question or I don't know, I'd love to hear what y'all are snacking on. You know, we've got our email address, hello@insidesportsnutrition.com. Many ways to contact us over on our Instagram account, which is ISN Podcast. You can tag us. Let us see what smoothie you're putting together or if you're making a snack, take a picture and tag us. We'd love to see it.
Oh, that'd be totally cool.
But I think for now, that's a good, you know, walkthrough of some snack ideas, talking about protein bars and the smoothie concoctions.
Fantastic. All right, listeners, as always, we appreciate you. Happy 2023 again, and let's have a fantastic year. Eat to train.
Nourish to thrive.
We hope you enjoyed episode 63, where Dina and I answered some great questions about snacking. Thanks again to our sponsor, UCAN, a revolutionary sports nutrition product that supports blood sugar and steady energy throughout the day and during training and competition. Stay tuned for next week's episode when Dina and I talk about, yes, another great topic that I love talking about, metabolic efficiency training. There's so much confusion about that. And we're going to devote a whole episode here in the new year and really focus on clearing some of the confusion, supporting and surrounding the concept of metabolic efficiency training. So be sure to stay tuned for that one. If you do have a sport nutrition related question, can be anything, supplement related, food related, whatever related, doesn't matter. Just email Dean and I. Our email address is hello@insidesportsnutrition.com. And let us know what your question is. We would love to answer that on a future episode. If you would like to continue supporting us and promoting our podcast, if you love what we're doing and it's helpful, please share it among your friends, your family members, your training partners, your teams. We would absolutely love that. And go over to your favorite podcast platform. Give us a review, a 5-star rating. It just really helps us grow our content for other listeners around the world. We would certainly appreciate that. You can also head on over to our website, insidesportsnutrition.com/support. For more information about what Dina and I do in our respective businesses, head on over to energyperformance.com. That's energperformance.com to see what I'm up to. And head on over to nutritionmechanic.com to see all of Dina's services. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the host and the guests involved and do not represent a replacement for medical consultation with your doctor. The information and opinions provided here are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or medical condition. This podcast is for information, education, and entertainment purposes only.